Blog Talk Radio.
Going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Can you do the first hand clap? Hand clap.
Yes.
No, never mind, never mind. It's okay. It's okay. Take the song off. Leave it. No. Please. It's okay. I'm just going to let her go ahead. Please. Leave it.
That was your game.
No, it wasn't. Please. Leave it. Please. Leave it. Okay. Barbara, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so we're just going to go ahead on, go into the lesson. I'm not home at my computer, so I don't know how to operate his. So you can... So you can go ahead on and start. Thank you.
Okay. I will do prayer.
Amen.
Precious and Heavenly Father, this morning again, a few of your humble servants gather to give you praise, glory, and honor. We come together at this 7 o'clock hour, Lord God, to study your word, basic theology, to get a better understanding of who you are. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day, a day we've never seen before. We thank you for everything that you've provided for us. We thank you for life, breath, health, strength, family, friends, enemies, churches, and, oh, all that you've provided for us, Lord God. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ. Lord, go where you need it right now in Maui and Russia, Ukraine, different places in this world where we're having earthquakes and mudslides and wars and rumors of wars and unclean water. Just go, Africa. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing it. We thank you in advance and bless us here in America, Lord God. We pursue you and we want to get a stronger and a closer walk with thee as you draw nigh to us and we draw nigh to thee. All these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your Son and our Savior, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to continue with our lesson number 43. Talking about Christ. Let me get the right title. Christ, prophet, priest, and king. Last time we were talking about the Melchizedekan priest, and we left off at section 4 on page 297, and I'll just read a little bit of that again. Where is it? Or all of it, actually, section 4. It was superior to the Aaronic order, talking about the order of Melchizedek. Abraham, out of whom came the Aaronic order, acknowledged the superiority of Melchizedek when he gave tithes of the spoils of the war to him, Genesis 14 and 20. Levi, though unborn, and all the priests that came from him were involved in this act that demonstrated the superiority of Melchizedek. In what ways does Christ function as a Melchizedek priest? Like Melchizedek, he is a ruler. He receives our obeisance. He blesses us. And as Melchizedek offered bread and wine to Abraham to refresh and sustain him after the battle, so our Lord as priest refreshes and sustains his people. He did this, for example, to Stephen at the time of his martyrdom. Our Lord was standing to sustain Stephen, Acts 7, verse 55. He does the same today with respect to local churches as he walks among the golden lampstands, Revelation 2 and 1. His work of redemption is finished. So he is seated, indicating he will never have to rise again to do it over or to add to it in any way, Hebrews 1 and 3. But his ministry of helping and sustaining goes on. So he is seen standing to do this. We have a great high priest standing and ready to come to the aid of those who are tested, Hebrews 2 and 18, and anxious to give grace to help in time of need. Amen.
Which scripture are we at?
Okay, we're looking at Revelation 2 and 1.
Okay, Revelation 2, Luke, Revelation Okay. Revelation 2:1 says, and this time I'm reading from the New King James, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Amen.
Amen. And then we're going to look at Hebrews 1:3.
Hebrews 1:3?
Yes.
Okay. And 3 says, let me make sure it is Hebrews. Yes, 1:3. He who brings the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. 1:3, Hebrews 1:3, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And then don't leave Hebrews now, 2:18.
2:18. For in that he is able to aid those who are tempted.
Hmm.
Okay.
And then 4:16.
4:16. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen.
Amen. And I just want to read mine. It starts at verse 14 through 16, Hebrews. The title is The High Priest Who Cried Out in Pain. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. Walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Excuse me. Take the mercy. Accept the help. Amen.
Amen.
And bless the Lord. And now the final section of chapter 43 is section 3, Christ as King. The concept of king includes a wide range of prerogatives. A king in Israel had legislative, executive, judicial, economic, and military powers. The concept of Christ as King may be surveyed around five words: promised, predicted, co-authored, rejected, and realized. God's gracious covenant with David promised that the right to rule would always remain with David's dynasty. What does that mean?
I'm sorry.
That means that the
good evening. Welcome.
That kings would be a part of come from David's line of descendants.
Okay.
And
yes.
So we know that Jesus is on that same line of descendants through David.
Exactly. Okay. It did not promise uninterrupted rule, for in fact, the Babylonian captivity did interrupt it, 2 Samuel 7:12-16. Isaiah predicted that the child who would be born would establish and reign on the throne of David, Isaiah 9:7. Gabriel announced to Mary that her baby would have the throne of David and reign over the house of Jacob. See that in Luke 1:32-33. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus' Davidic kingship was pro-offered to Israel, Matthew 2:27-11, John 12:13. But he was rejected. What does pro-offered mean?
What word?
P-R-O-F-F-E-R-E-D, pro-offered.
That he would be offered the position?
No. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus' Davidic kingship was pro-offered to Israel, but he was rejected.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, he was offered. He was offered to Israel. I don't know what the code
what
is.
What does co-offered mean?
But
what does
code
what
mean
does
in
mean?
Addition to?
What?
I think there's like two. Co-offered is that you have
mm-hmm.
this, but then here's another offer for you.
No. Isn't that he offered it to the Jews first? He offered
Jesus extended himself to Israel, and you know,
right?
He did it in a gentle way. It wasn't like he was forcing it or, you know, abrasive or aggressive. He offered it in a gentle way, salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And they refused
yeah.
it. They didn't believe him. All right, so he extended himself to them. He offered himself to them, and they rejected him. The Gadarenes, in the next paragraph, repudiated his claim. What does that mean?
They denied it?
Right, they refused to believe
mm-hmm.
his claim.
Mm-hmm.
The scribes rejected his claim to be able to forgive sins. What does that mean?
Yeah, they didn't believe. They didn't believe his divinity. They didn't believe Jesus' divinity, that he was able
right.
to forgive sins. They didn't believe the divinity of Jesus, that Jesus was God.
Right. They rejected his claim.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Many people in various cities rejected his credentials. What does that mean?
Yes.
When they look at him, the Son of God, they looked at him as a prophet, so they didn't believe in him.
Exactly. They didn't think he was qualified. And we
right.
know that many of them look at and still look at him as just a prophet and the son of Joseph. He's now the king. He's now, you know, the Messiah.
What?
No.
They say, can any good come out of Galilee? They say, can any good
exactly.
come out of Galilee?
Yeah, out of Nazareth. Can any good
Nazareth.
Come out of Nazareth? Right.
Nazareth.
So the Pharisees.
Any good come out of Nazareth?
Right. And so they didn't think too highly of him, right?
Nope.
At all.
Not at all.
So then Herod, these are all those who rejected him. Herod.
I'm sorry, what page are we on? What page?
We're on 298, finishing up the last chapter 43. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Herod, Pontius Pilate, Gentiles, and Jews all rejected him, finality,
mm-hmm.
at the crucifixion. Because the king was
Ooh.
Rejected, the messianic Davidic kingdom was, from a human viewpoint, postponed. What does that mean? Because the king was rejected, the messianic Davidic kingdom was postponed.
Well, Messiah was the Messiah, right? Because this Messiah was to come from, you know, the line of David. So they were, you know, it was predicted that the Messiah would come from the line of David. And because they rejected this, the Messiah, who is Jesus, things got postponed for them because they didn't accept Christ. You know, they, and even today, they're still waiting for this Messianic king to come.
Yeah, that's true.
So their salvation is being postponed because of that.
For them.
Right.
For them.
Right.
Yeah.
So thank you. So he never ceases to be king, and of course is king today as always. Christ is never designated as king of the church. Acts 17:7 and 1 Timothy 1:17 are no exceptions. And Revelation 15:3, king of saints. The King James Version is king of the nations in the critical and majority text. Though Christ is a king today, he does not rule as king. This awaits his second coming. Then the Davidic kingdom will be realized, Matthew 25:31, Revelation 19:15 and 20. Then the priest will sit on his throne. Who's this? Who's going to sit on his throne?
Jesus.
Amen. Bring into this earth a long-awaited golden age. All right, we have a lot of scripture to look at in this point. And let's start at the first paragraph under section 3. We're looking at 2 Samuel 7:12-16. I'm going to ask Nadine to get that, please, 2 Samuel 7. You have a Bible available, too?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. 2 Samuel 7.
Coming. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 to 16. And it reads, For when you die and are buried with your ancestors, I will raise up one of your descendants, your own offspring, and I will make his kingdom strong. He is the one who will build a house, a temple for my name, and I will secure his royal throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. If he sins, I will correct and discipline him with the rod, like any father would do. But my favor will be taken from him as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from your sight. Your house and your kingdom will continue before me for all time, and your throne will be secure forever. So Nathan went back to David and told him everything the Lord said in his vision.
Amen, amen. Thank you. And the next portion would be 2 Samuel 7. Okay, Isaiah 9 and 7. Evangelist, Isaiah 9 and 7.
Okay. Isaiah 9 and 7 says, Of the interest of his government and peace, there will be no end on the throne of David over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
So Luke 1:32-33. Okay, great. 31 through 33.
Okay, here it is. 31 through 33 in Luke 1. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. And then he asked the angel. Oh, it's just the 33. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Kingdom will last forever.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So that's the Davidic dynasty right there, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they talked about. That's what to expect. He will be on the throne forever.
Oh, yes.
Matthew.
Forever and ever and ever.
Matthew 2 and 2.
Okay, Matthew 2 and 2 says, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Lies you tell. Oh, no, that's the wise man. I thought it was Herod. But it's the wise man who said that. Saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship. And the next one is
so who's
Matthew.
Doing that? No, who's doing that? That was saying what you just read.
I did. Matthew 27. I'm looking.
No, I said who was doing.
Oh, that was the wise men.
Right.
They said
right.
That we came to worship him. At first, when I read it, I thought it was Herod, but it wasn't Herod.
I know, right? And my Bible, the message calls them the scholars. All right, it says this is 2 and 1 through 2. It says after Jesus was born in Bethlehem village, Judah territory, this was during Herod's kingship. A band of scholars arrived in Jerusalem from the east. They asked around, "Where can we find and pay homage to the newborn King of the Jews? We observed a star in the eastern sky that signaled his birth. We're on pilgrimage to worship him." Amen. So what all does that mean? I know we know, but what all does that mean?
That they knew that Christ was born, and they knew about Christ's divinity, and they just had to go and see.
Amen.
This wonderful thing that has happened.
Amen. And it's a shame that, you know, some of the very ones that lived there in Bethlehem failed to believe it.
Right.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah.
They failed
except
to believe
for shepherds. The shepherds that was out there, the shepherds believed it.
The shepherds was like, because they were sitting out there at night, so they saw the star, but they didn't understand
they
what it meant.
And they saw the angels. The angels came to them. Remember?
That's how they were.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What kind of angels were those? Do you remember?
Oh, my God.
The messenger.
Was
it the messengers?
Yeah, well, we know the angels are messengers,
but what kind? Are they the seraphim?
Yes, those are the large ones. All right?
Uh-huh.
And we know that the other ones are what? What are they called?
They are the they're the ones that guard the ones that was guarding the serpents and then you have
the little
ones babies, that was guarding
the baby ones. What do they call them? The baby ones. What do they call them?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh,
the cherubim. You know.
Wait. There's the archangels.
The cherubims are the ones that they saw in the garden. They were guarding the garden, and
yes, they guarded
the
garden.
Large ones. And I could imagine if they are large and with wings and so forth. That would be a frightful sight.
Absolutely.
Right? You're out there minding the sheep, tending the sheep, and all of a sudden,
they probably look like giants.
Yes, they're big. They're large. They're bigger than the cherubim. You know, the cherubims are like babies. Anyway, 27 and 11
says, Jesus faces Pilate. So now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" So Jesus said to him, "Is it as you say?"
Amen. Amen. And mind me, who was he standing before when this is going on?
Pilate.
I'll just read mine. Jesus was placed before the governor, who questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "Yeah. If you say so." I'm not going to tell you no, but I mean, that's what I've been telling these people, and they don't accept that, you know.
Exactly.
I so offered myself to them, and they refused to accept me as the king, right, as the king of the Jews who can give them salvation and save their souls. They refuse that. Amen?
Amen.
And now we're going to look at John 12 and 13. Lady Nadine, John 12 and 13. John 12 and 13.
Oh, John 12 and 13 says, he took the branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and began crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel," which we know that was right. Short-lived. That was short-lived.
And what feast were they celebrating at that time? You recall?
Passover, wasn't it?
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Just days before the crucifixion. But he was rejected. Okay.
Yep.
Next paragraph. What's that?
I said once again he was rejected.
Yeah. Once again, that's a lot of, rejection, but he still pressed his way. He was on a mission, and he didn't let their naysaying and their doubting stop him. He went on to the cross to save us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? To save believers. Amen. He came to save the world, but the world didn't accept him.
That's right.
And we know John 3:16, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And all of them did not believe. Amen. Let's take a look at Matthew 8 and 34, Evangelist.
34 says, "And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. Oh, they wanted him to leave because he came to take out the demons from those two men. And then when they saw that, he threw them inside of the pig. So they wanted him to leave. So that's
right.
So that's what Gadareans. Gadareans are swine.
Yeah. No. The country of the Gadarenes. Okay, that's not the swine. That's where the man was.
Well,
in the
it relates to the Gadarean swine. I don't know. I think it's it probably is because I don't know what Gadarean is. And
that's just the country. That's a country like Bethlehem and my Bible says
so
landed
the
in the country.
Were the people, so those are the people of that country that was upset.
Right.
Because Yeah, the Gadareans. I got it.
Okay, and I'm going to read The Madman and the Pigs. They landed in the country of the Gadarenes and were met by two madmen, victims of demons, coming out of the cemetery. The men had terrorized the region for so long that no one considered it safe to walk down that stretch of road anymore. Seeing Jesus, the mad men screamed out, "What business do you have giving us a hard time? You're the Son of God. You weren't supposed to show up here yet." Off in the distance, a herd of pigs was browsing and rooting. The evil spirits begged Jesus, "If you kick us out of these men, let us live in the pigs." Jesus said, "Go ahead, but get out of here." Crazed, the pigs stampeded over a cliff into the sea and drowned. Scared to death, the swine herd bolted. What does that mean?
Ran. They ran, right?
Right, they left. They told everyone back in town what had happened. They scattered. What had happened to the madmen and the pigs? Those who heard about it were angry about the drowned pigs. They were sorry about the pigs. Never mind that the men no longer had the demons within them. A mob formed and demanded that Jesus get out and not come back. So they were more sympathetic to the pigs than they were to the madmen. You know, the
Yes,
amen. Yes, because the swine went over the cliff and drowned, went over the edge. Okay, let's end it right here. What time is it? Oh, 7:40. Okay, we got a little more time. The scribes rejected his claim to be able to forgive sins. That's in Matthew 9:3, all right? Who wants
Matthew
to read that?
9:3 says, "And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, 'This man blasphemes.'" This is Jesus forgives and heals a paraplegic.
Okay, thank you. And many people in various cities rejected his credentials. Matthew 11:20-30. You want to read that, Lady Nadine, and then Evangelist read 13:53-58.
Okay.
Matthew 11:20-30.
Sure. Okay, got it. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had done so many of his miracles because they hadn't repented in their sins and turned to God. What sorrow awaits you, Chorazin and Bethsaida? For if the miracles I did in in you had been done in wicked Tyre or Sidon, their people would have repented of their sins long ago, clothing themselves in burlap and throwing ashes on their heads to show remorse. I tell you, Tyre and Sidon will be better off on judgment day than you. And you people of Capernaum, will you be honored in heaven? No. You will go down the place of the dead. For if the miracles I did for you had been done in wicked Sodom, it would still be there today. I tell you, even Sodom will be better off on judgment than you. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes,
wow.
Father, to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father. One truly knows the Father except the Son. And those to whom the Son chose to reveal him. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take up your yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach
Lord.
You, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus.
Beautiful. Thank you. And the next one is 15. Wait, that's not the name. It's 13, 53 through 58, still in Matthew.
Okay. 13, 53
through 58.
Okay. Here we go. Jesus rejected that message. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brother James, Jose, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I wouldn't have did any either. They didn't believe in him. Oh, they saw him as a carpenter and not the son of God.
The carpenter's son, right, and a carpenter.
Yes.
And I'd like to thank you. I'd like to read mine. It says 53. It says, when Jesus finished telling these stories, he left there, returned to his hometown, and gave a lecture in the meeting house. He made a real hit, impressing everyone. He had no idea he was this good, they said. How did he get so wise, get such ability? But in the next breath, they were cutting him down. We've known him since he was a kid. He's the carpenter's son. We know his mother Mary. We know his brothers James and Joseph, Simon and Judas. All his sisters live here. Who does he think he is? They got their noses all out of joint. But Jesus said, a prophet is taken for granted in his hometown and his family.
Yep.
He didn't do any miracles there because of their hostile indifference. Amen.
Amen.
You know,
so Jesus said, I'm not wasting what's that?
I said, this scripture reminds me, even though I'm not a prophet, but it does, it reminds me of my aunt, you know, because my aunt had diabetes. And I had already, you know, I graduated from nursing school. I was in nursing school, graduated from, you know, had my degree and stuff in nursing. And she would not, you know, when I tried to teach her about her diabetes, she would not listen to me. She said, oh, so you can do all that. Now you're going to tell me I had diabetes over such years. Now you think you're going to tell me what to do?
Wow.
I never forget that. I'm like, you know, in my heart, I'm like, well, you've been doing everything wrong. Okay, this is why this is happening. But I didn't say it like that to her. But in my mind, I'm like, wait, she never accepted the fact that, you know, that I was a nurse. You know, that I,
right.
She never accepted it. Just like, you know, now you think you're going to tell me what to do.
Yes, she didn't believe you.
Your family.
She didn't believe you. Amen.
She never see you as you are.
Exactly. Not as who you had become.
Become.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So let's look at Matthew 12, 1 through 20. Evangelist, you want to read that?
Okay.
1 through 20, Matthew 12.
Matthew 12.
Well, it's 15. What is that? 12.
Is it 12?
15. 1 through 20. It must be all of 12.
It has 15, to be.
12, the whole
no.
thing.
But it just says Matthew 12.
Which means
right?
It's the whole chapter.
Oh.
Matthew 12.
That's a lot. Okay. I ain't got no problem.
No,
okay.
No. We're not going to read that. No, we're not going to read that. We're just going
to
read what I said.
Yeah, because we only got 4 minutes left.
Okay, so we'll stop right there.
Exactly.
Okay, we'll start right there. And I didn't read it. It was the entire 12th chapter.
Yeah.
But we're not going to read that because it's a little lengthy. In fact, it goes to... Well,
yeah,
goes
so
to 30.
We'll read 12 next week.
It goes to...
in chapter...
It goes to 37. That's well, it goes beyond that.
Huh?
It goes to 50. It goes to 50.
Yeah, Matthew,
you can
Matthew,
read
Matthew
money only if you want.
Chapters.
What?
I think Matthew has the longest. I think Matthew has the longest chapters.
They have some long chapters in Matthew. But anyway, let's go and get. Any problems, any discussions, any thoughts before we close out?
I think it was a wonderful lesson, even though we started late. Well, actually, we really wasn't that late, but it was beautiful. I enjoyed the scripture reading and letting us know that, you know, you're not going to always be welcome in your own hometown.
Amen.
Not everybody's
gonna
like you, you know.
Right. Even in your own family, sometimes.
Exactly.
As Nadine expressed, you know, when you come with some new information that they don't accept or don't want to believe from you. Now they would have taken it from a stranger, you know, and not talking about your up. She would have taken it from someone that she didn't know. But for people to accept things from the people that they've seen grow up, you know, how they are and blah, 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 they refused to believe it. Just Jesus was not accepted.
Exactly.
Because they knew his father.
Yeah.
They knew his earthly father, not his real father. And they knew his mother. So they could not accept the fact that he came to save her? Who is this?
Yeah.
So he's not all of that, but he is.
Oh,
so, maybe.
Thank you, Sister Barbara. You are just so amazing. I enjoyed this. You are so amazing. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Really,
thank you for being with us.
Really great.
Yes.
We always welcome you.
Yes,
Well, Mara was coming, but because she was down in the laundry, so she said that she'll join us next week.
Okay, God willing. I hope she'll join us tomorrow. I don't know if she's reading her book or whatever. But
I don't
know. It is what it is. You know, it is what it is. So we just love her anyway. Hopefully she'll be able to join us. Yeah. So, Nadine, take us out, please. If all hearts are ready, take us out.
Hearts are ready.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God. And I thank you, Father, for Sister Barbara, Lord God. I thank you for the gift, Lord God, that you have put upon her, Lord God, because she is using her gift to share your word, Lord God, and explain your word to those who have an ear to hear, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, and I thank you for Sister Barbara, Lord God. I thank you for this lesson, Lord God. I thank you for Hilda, Lord God, who is always ready to make sure that her program comes on. Praise be to God.
Praise
She's
God.
So dedicated.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God. Lord God, we just ask that you continue to bless Sister Barbara, Lord God, continue to bless Hilda,
Lord God, and
bless Deacon Valerie, Lord God. Give her what she needs, Lord God, to just come on, you know, just come to class. Give her what it is that she needs, Lord God, the motivation or whatever it is, Lord God, that's holding her back, Lord God. Take it away, Lord God.
Thank you.
We praise you, Lord God, for this opportunity.
Hallelujah.
And we just want to love on you, Lord God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for that awesome prayer.
Amen.
To God.
I want to let you ladies know that my brother-in-law is doing wonderful. He came out of the surgery okay. They removed all the cancer. Today they gave him something to eat today, and my sister said he tolerated it very well.
Beautiful. Nice. To God be the glory.
So I want to thank all you ladies for your wonderful prayers.
Continue healing.
Amen.
God, thank you,
so
Jesus.
Good.
He is awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Ladies, have a fantastic evening. Love you much, and God willing, we'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, love you too. Have a wonderful evening.
Kisses, blessings, and hugs. Shalom.
Hugs and kisses.
Yes.
Oh, you should see your baby, Sister Barbara. He looks like a little rat.
What? What happened? You bathed him?
No, I gave him a grooming.
You gave him a what?
A grooming. I took him to be groomed.
Oh, okay.
You know what?
So
you cut
a lot of
once you cut all the hair off, he looks like a little rat.
Oh, take a picture. Take a picture and send it to me.
I will.
Give him a hug for me, okay?
I will. Okay. Thank you. thing jump.
Gonna have to cut the computer off because that mouse goes all over everywhere. Yeah, I can't stand them kind of mouses.
Okay, so this is Pastor.
Okay.
And you just take what you want from each thing. Start with your right.
Okay, go shut it down because it's still running. It's still running. I have to shut off my phone. I could shut the phone off.